Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Welcome to IndieBirth series of podcasts here on iTunes, Taking Back Birth. Hi everyone, Maren here today with a sensitive subject and a very special guest to share her story. I'm here with Sabrina Wolf Moon, a friend from Canada who we've actually never met in real life, but it feels like we have somehow. The internet is good at that. And we've talked, I think, a lot over the years and have many things in common around birth and beliefs. But Sabrina wanted to share her story today of a recent loss. And the more we talked about maybe the way this would go, of course, you never know how it will go, but we thought that we just wanted to bring attention today in whatever way we could through Sabrina's story and maybe even a little bit of mine here and there to the sacred side of loss and miscarriage. So we'll see where this takes us, but exploring these things that women don't seem to talk about unless they're together. So we're just going to pretend we're together, and Sabrina's going to go ahead and share what's important to her today. So thank you for being here today, Sabrina.
And thank you for having me, Maren. Yes, we've known each other through Facebook, and the connections we feel are often very kindred. So even though we have never met in person, it really feels like we share a common spirit and a common, just a common way of, you know, making our way through life, I guess. I'm very honored to be here on your show today. I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and I love the work you do, and I think it's really important that we do keep sharing, you know, keep sharing knowledge, because one of the most beautiful quotes I came across was that true power is shared power, and true power through knowledge and speaking and sharing it, what more can you ask for, really, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and especially around this issue, right, like death and, you know, babies dying and loss. Most people don't really want to talk about it too much.
No, they don't.
Push it under the rug and not honor it the way you have.
Unfortunately, it's a huge part of the circle of life and death. Unfortunately, or not unfortunately, really is a part of that cyclical nature that, you know, the earth and nature herself mirrors to us. Every day. I mean, look at the time of year we're in right now, and we're going to be talking about loss at the time of year where we're heading into darkness, where unless you're on the other side of the equator, I guess.
Right.
The leaves are falling, and what is nature mirroring to us? It is that letting go. It's letting go, letting go, letting go, so things can be reborn. And you know, it's not an easy thing, and it probably will never be easy, but it's something you can become more mindful of and just, you know, practice letting go. I mean, yeah. It's everywhere. You can't hide from it.
No, you're right, right? The life-death cycle is in our daily day, in our, you know, each hour.
Right.
So it's just something we've chosen as a collective to not really look at. But once you're in the seat of, you know, having death within you, literally, I think these things become so much more clear that this is the truth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, I think maybe, you know, our more ancient cultures, indigenous cultures, they have always honored, you know, that death part of life, you know, because I think they understood that it's not the end. It is a change of worlds. It's a change of, you know, it's a shift in consciousness. And although the physical body is no longer there, you know, life does go on. And, you know, this is sacred space because your physical body and whether your spirit, you know, lives on beyond this physical realm. Mm-hmm. This experience is like a one-time experience as, you know, you and as me.
yeah, for sure.
So even though, you know, you might be open to reincarnation and past lifetimes, I mean, it doesn't take the sacredness away that is you who you are
right.
today.
Right.
It really doesn't. So I think Western culture is always kind of hidden. It has hidden death so much from us that we are really uncomfortable with it. You know, mm-hmm. I remember, you know, being a little girl, and I came home from kindergarten. I was still living in Germany at the time, and my great-grandma was just crying on the couch, and I just knew instantly something big had happened. And my great-grandfather had passed away. And, you know, after that memory, there's nothing, because I wasn't allowed at the funeral. I do not remember anything after except that moment. Mm. And, you know, the funeral and that part of death was kind of hidden from me, and I always kind of wondered why.
Like, yeah.
Why was that so hidden from me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's something that goes back, right? It's generations deep in many of our bodies and our DNA to just reject the idea. So I think especially in pregnancy, right, it can be so shocking to be in that situation, although we know intellectually, you know, that miscarriage really is pretty common. We don't expect, you know, we don't expect it necessarily. But why don't you start telling us about this pregnancy or this spirit baby or however feels right to you to talk about it?
Well, the whole thing was really interesting because, you know, you kind of know when there's something lingering. And after I had my fourth baby, Rowan, and I had my first unassisted birth with him, which was funny because I always thought you and me would be talking about
our Rowans.
Rowan's unassisted birth, but you know, at the time I had really crappy internet. I didn't have Skype, so I mean, it just never came about. But I did, you know, share his story on, you know, on my blog that I kind of, you know, it's very leisurely and relaxed writing, very sporadic, but it's been up for about 2 years, and it was just really a place for me to kind of put my thoughts and my feelings and just kind of get it out, not have it just kind of in the ethers all around me. It was just somewhere to ground it and give birth to some of my stories, I guess. Whether people read it or not wasn't really a huge concern to me, but so I find it interesting that we find ourselves here now, and that we're going to be talking about, you know, an unassisted miscarriage is what, you know, really it was, because I approached it the same way as I would approach birth, and in that deep knowing that my body and my spirit and the spirit of this child, they just knew what to do, and all I needed to do was just try to find a space within myself to allow it to happen and not to get in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the biggest thing is that we get into our own way. We get into the way of what our body knows that it needs to do. Because I don't know, we would just that part of us that's almost conditioned with resistance. Maybe it comes from fear of the unknown, fear of, I'm not sure, just fear, I guess. Because if we didn't feel fear, we would feel trust. And if we feel trust, we would know that our bodies always know what they need to do. And so this started about 3 months ago, I guess. And I kind of have always, after Rowan's birth, felt like I thought maybe I'd feel complete. You know, maybe, I'm done. You know, people would be like, are you done? Are you going to have any more children? I'm like, what a question. It's like, you know, my attitude to life is just open. I am open to life. And I trust that when I need to make a decision, that my intuition and my, you know, I'll have that inner guidance to give me the answer.
Exactly.
And I didn't really feel done. And at the same time, I felt like, well, at this time, I'm content. Like, I'm happy with, you know, having my four children. Like, you know, this is good, you know.
Right.
But I would never be like, yeah, I'm done, totally, you know.
Yeah, that's very final. I've never felt that way, and I've never known how to answer that question myself either, so I totally relate to that.
Well, sometimes for kicks and, you know, I would just, you know, answer differently depending on who's asking. So, you know, either, you know, kind of a smart-ass comment.
Sure.
Just, you know, whatever response felt appropriate at the time. But yeah, never, nothing final. I mean, there are no absolutes in life, period. So it's like, I don't really feel like I need I need to make that decision or share it with anyone. We'll see what happens.
Sure. I mean, I think you feel the same way. I don't ultimately feel that that's up to me. And so when people ask that, I find it to be a very arrogant question almost, you know, for me to say definitively. I mean, who knows what the universe has in store or, you know, well, it's not really ours to say.
No, the words was like, you know, my partner asked whether he was going to, you know, get fixed or whatever. And I'm just like, poor you, you know, like what a question to deal with, whether you're going to get, you know, snipped or vasectomy or fixed, whatever they would say. And it's like, I would never ask that of you, you know, it's just like, it's not like he'd ever ask me to, you know, change my physiology in order to prevent something from happening.
Sure.
And it is, you know, like I think when, you know, side topic is birth control, but I mean, knowing your body and knowing your cycles is a huge step to planning your life. But know that there's only so much planning that you can do. I mean, we know the stories of people who've tried to prevent in pretty incredible ways, and they still end up getting pregnant.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That get pregnant who were told, you can't have babies, and maybe parts of them lets it go. Let's, you know, when you hold on too tight to something, sometimes, you know, you almost prevent it from maybe happening because you're so attached to it. And as soon as you just kind of ease into being that flow, wow, all of a sudden it happens, right? And these are supposed to be these absolutes that we're supposed to adhere by, and I don't believe in them. There's so much magic all around us. I mean, just becoming pregnant to me is one of the most magical things that could happen. I mean, the alchemy required to create life is mind-blowing to me.
Yes.
I just can't really get my mind around it. My mind is too small to grasp the extraordinariness of creating life. Like, that is just amazing to me. So
we know nothing. That's what I always come back to. We pretty much know nothing about anything. And
no, we might have an inkling, maybe a little inkling, but you know, too difficult. We just don't have the words to really even come close to expressing some of these things. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, we do know nothing, you know. And yet we know everything. I don't know.
Right. No, exactly. But it, like, in that sense, knowing everything in the sense that we do, did you know kind of what this soul was coming for? Did you have a feeling about any of it before? I'm just so curious about that, because I feel like a lot of women, you know, if they're being really open about loss, and, you know, certainly not everybody, it's not like it has to be, but there's something different. There's something different about the whole experience.
Well, let me tell you, the entire event around even conception, like, I will not go into detail here, but, you know, yeah. We conceived when I, you know, you think physiologically, biologically, I shouldn't have conceived, because it happened around when I was supposed to be expecting my moon time. I was not ovulating at the time. So, I mean, right from the get-go, it was very mysterious. The entire beginning of our journey was very mysterious. Like, and I don't have the answer for how I was able to conceive while not ovulating. I do know in lunar ovulation, and I always found that fascinating, because out of all my four babies, I think my biological ovulation, my monthly ovulation, occurred very close or even with my lunar ovulation. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can track their conceptions properly, it's like they lined up and made me like...
Well, that's super fertile. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And this time, like, it wasn't that close to my lunar ovulation, because of course I was going to check that right away. Like, oh, you know, but I just don't know. It just kind of occurred. And I have a friend who's been really dear to me since I was about 17. I met her, and she was... She does massage, and she also does psychic readings in town here, which, you know, I live in a really small community, so it took her a long time to kind of come out and say she does psychic readings, because we live in a community that has a, you know, high population of, you know, religious people, and sometimes that word just, you know, right. doesn't, you know, do it justice. But this woman is so authentic, and my first reading with her I had when I was about 17, and, you know, it really validated everything I've always felt since being little. And just the information that's come through, I mean, you can't make this up.
Right.
You really can. And her experience began with a friend of hers who was also a medicine man, and I guess she has also written a book, and right now I really just can't even remember what her book is mm-hmm. called, so I'm sorry, Dawn, for that. But so her experience began with, you know, this medicine man basically clearing her energy and just kind of opening her up, and after that she was able to tune into spirits, mm-hmm. you know, around her. And she had, you know, even her family, you know, her sons, I remember she telling me his story, like he was so skeptical, right? And he kept testing her and asking her questions she just couldn't possibly know the answers to. And he was just, his mind was blown when she was able to give him the right answer. So with Dawn, I asked her about the conception of this baby, and she kind of said that sometimes spirits can, you know, put their hands in there and kind of make things happen that almost kind of, you know, transcend our physical
sure.
laws.
Sure.
Right? And I was just like, wow, okay. So, I mean, we can do the best to prevent certain things, like I said, or have our plan, and our egos are really happy with these plans that we make, right? Because they're like, yeah, I'm in control now, so I'm making this plan from A to Z, and nothing will get in my way. But, you know, there's that mysterious component of spirit, and sometimes sure. it has other plans.
Yeah. So how did the pregnancy start to kind of shape around this mystery, you know, before it was over?
Well, I realized it slow. It was our first camping trip that we finally got to take as a family. And I went to one of my favorite lakes that's in this area. It's huge. It's ancient. And I just kind of wanted to, you know, go somewhere and unplug for a while and get kind of out of that, you know, regular sure. mom routine, you know, and it just get everyone to kind of unplug and, you know, take a break and just be in nature. And I just kind of, over that week of camping, and it was so beautiful because we were alone at this campground the entire time, which was just such a blessing. And I don't know, watching the stars and meteors and the loons were really calling so much. And I don't know if you've ever heard a loon call uh-uh. on a lake, but it is one of the most haunting, beautiful, heart-tugging, soul-tugging like mm. sounds that you can hear. And it was over this camping trip that I just started really, because my moon was late now, right? Okay, mm-hmm. so I knew about this conception so much earlier than the other ones, where I was a little bit more in denial, oh, my moon's just late, because, you know, cycles fluctuate. It was not really abnormal at all for my moon time to kind of be off by a couple of weeks from stress or
right.
you know, stuff going on, or even just the moon itself and wanting to line up with a different cycle. But oddly enough, for this entire last year, looking back at my calendar, my moon time was really consistent, which yeah. was just like, wow, it was actually consistent.
Yeah.
Here it was not there, and I'm like, I don't want to. I didn't feel like taking a pregnancy test. I really wanted to
sure.
to trust my intuition, because I've had enough experiences over the years where, you know, by now, why am I still doubting? But I was doubting because I didn't think that I could have possibly conceived when I did.
Yeah,
right?
So that's amazing.
It kind of like just kind of threw me off a little bit more. But it was really this camping trip, these musings in between, you know, just being out in nature and really unwinding and unplugging and enjoying. It just kept coming to me, and other things too, like these other beautiful visions that came with it. I was really, really, the homesteading was really calling me. Like it's been on my mind for a long time, but it was starting to tug at me more than ever. And it's just something that I wanted for my family. And I always kind of, I guess, had this kind of hope that maybe, you know, we can kind of take, you know, our life path into that direction and maybe get kind of out of just getting through life, you know, paying the bills and, you know, keeping up, just, you know, keeping everyone fed and really moving into enjoying life, like, to the fullest, you know, sure, of course, sure, with hard work. But, you know, in that would, I always thought maybe then there would be an open space for this lingering spirit that I kept kind of sensing to come in. Well, I guess it came a little earlier than I expected, so.
Yeah.
That camping trip just kind of, I don't know, it brought up a lot of different things, and I don't know, me and my partner were talking about it, and we sensed, you know, the spirit around, and it was a very gentle spirit, and we were kind of talking about, well, if I am pregnant, you know, what kind of plans we would be making, and we were both really on the same level, and it just really felt like this person coming in would bring a lot of blessings. And even though, you know, I lost this baby, it still brought a lot of beautiful blessings and lessons. And
yeah, they do. They do. I think that's another thing people don't talk about. And it's certainly not something, I think we're all afraid of saying that to somebody. You know, you don't want to say that to somebody that's just had a loss, that good will come, or, you know, that kind of thing. But personally, I totally agree. I feel like my loss really changed my life in a lot of ways and reset my path. And I'm just so grateful, actually, for, you know, for that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's right. And I mean, when I got back from our camping trip, it was a couple of weeks later, and I really knew I was pregnant. I mean, I went home once when we were camping, and I just, I had to come home, and I had to, you know, check on our chickens and the horse and the garden, because we were about an hour from home, right? So I had to kind of keep coming in and go back, check on stuff. And I came home to have a shower, and just like, wow, like I just felt this ball of light inside my womb. Like, yeah, someone made home here.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of knew, like, it felt different. And I was a little bit afraid, of course, the fear of, wow, okay, I know, well, I guess my life is changing a lot now. And at the same time, there was just really an excitement about it at the same time.
Yeah.
And it felt magical. It was surreal again, because, wow, how did this even happen? But cool, you know, like I'll roll with it. I will flow with this, because I don't believe in accidents. So, you know, like, I know that everything that happens for a reason. So it took me a little while in my life to really accept and understand that, but it's kind of been something that's always kept me going, especially through the challenges and the hard stuff, is that, you know, things do happen for a reason, and we probably at the time that they're happening won't be able to see that clearly, but to know that and understand that we do choose lessons for ourselves, for our own growth, even before we come here, maybe, exactly. You know, it really takes a load off of, you know, kind of almost kind of drowning in what could be a depression, you know, like, I mean, when you're faced with so many challenges and you don't have that sense of connection to something greater, it can be a really depressing place and world to live in.
Sure, sure. And yeah, I totally agree with what you just said too, you know, just the souls coming with lessons that we have agreed on beforehand. At least that's my belief. I know it's not everyone's, but sounds like it's yours too, you know, that we did actually choose this. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a much more powerful place to be, because you certainly will still feel depressed and, you know, like a victim in some moments. Sure, yes. Of course.
Well, you know, the sadness and the grief, you know, that's part of, it's sure. normal, you know, it's holding on to it and then enduring suffering from not being able to let go. And that is something, you know, that healing is all about, is, you know, like, you know, the memories are there, your story is there, your feelings are valid of feeling sad. They totally are. It's valid. It's,
Well, we're human. We're human. And we build up a story, and this baby has, you know, maybe a name, and you know, we do this whole thing that's really normal, but it's a hard story to part with if we have to.
Yes, and this baby didn't have a story, because after I came back from camping, you know, I went and saw Dawn, my friend, and I did have a reading with her, and she was pretty surprised at my pregnancy at first, because we kind of, you know, laughed about it, I don't know, during a reading over Rowan or something, I don't know, something came up, but she was just like, wow, okay,
you're having change of plans.
I don't know, she tuned in, and that's the first thing she got. I mean, everything that came through that reading was stuff that we were musing about while we were camping, you know, from the homestead to the gentle spirit that this baby was, very feminine. I'm pretty sure it would have incarnated as a girl, but, you know, that isn't always so. Just because you have, you know, a feminine spirit doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, a female. Right.
Right.
But everything was like, it was like my readings for me have just been validations. And I guess it's why I know there's truth there, because it's not just something, a storyline that I'm like, okay, willing to accept. It's like, no, I have felt this, you know, this has come to mind. This is a vision I've had, or a gut feeling I've had, or just your heart knows when you hear truth.
Sure.
It's just this feeling that kind of overwhelms you when you just know something is right. You know, you can't really explain this knowing. It's just there. And I've had that many times with my readings with Dawn. So it was really awesome to be validated and to not think that you're crazy, because you go through periods of thinking, you know, you're just making stuff up. And that is your doubt, right? Doubt likes to take over. And it likes to, you know, really get in there and go, oh, no, no, you're just, you know, you're just dreaming, or, you know, imagining, and all those things are really important things actually to do.
Well, and it's so nice to have someone, you know, that you trust like that, you know, that is kind of like a soul sister. I know I have a similar person in my life, and and when my baby was, you know, I knew he was gone, of course, I called her and I was like, hey, can you just tell me what you see on your end? And she said, okay, you know, she said, but you do it too. And then we'll talk. We'll meet back in like another day and we'll talk about what we both saw. So we did. And, you know, to keep it brief, like what I saw and his reason for leaving and what he was doing now and what his purpose was exactly what she told me. And I needed her to reflect it, you know,
because,
like I do trust myself, but and she's not here physically. She didn't really know what was going on. So there was no other way for her to know other than she knows, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was so like soul affirming to know that, you know, these, whatever kind of things we're feeling and seeing about these kind of situations, like they are real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, everyone has that guidance system there.
Sure.
It's just whether we're aware or mindful. I mean, it's really easy to get caught up in everyday stuff and just not be aware of things. But I mean, one of the things that I saw on my camping trip was these two, like right as me and Mike were talking, and I'm like, yeah, I just really had this feeling I was pregnant. These two eagles flew over me, and it was a mother and her young eagle, because they both had different colorings, and they landed right in the trailer or on top of the trees above where we had parked our camper trailer, and they were just hanging out there, and then they were playful and they flew away over me, and some of the young ones, baby Fluff, flew on me.
Yeah, you know, gosh, it's animal medicine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, instant answer here. I was just like, wow, and that's the day that I went home and had a shower, and I could feel this new life in my womb, and I was like, wow, you know, like the signs are there. It's whether we're able to be present enough to catch them. The universe and our spirit and our helpers, they're talking to us all the time, and
that's true.
It's not like, you know, there's maybe there are more people that have evolved more over time or lifetimes that are easier to tune into these things, but every human has that potential. We're all wired to be highly intuitive and psychic. Yes. You know, they call it, what do they call it? Not paranormal or supernatural, you know, abilities, but they're part of our entire makeup. Like, you know, we have our five senses, but we also have other senses. And I think for the last few thousand years, maybe living on planet Earth, we have not been utilizing our full potential and full capacity. Like maybe our ancient ancestors actually were at the time, right? I mean, they came up with extraordinary, extraordinary knowledge, and they had so much wisdom. It's like, how could they have not been tuned into something, you know, bigger?
Well, and I think, again, the topic of loss, you know, for some of us really strengthens that ability, you know, and I do agree anybody has access to it. But, you know, on the other hand, it may not be the time to try for the very first time. But I think if you're trusting and willing to go there, and like you said, just look for the signs. I felt like that's all that got me through my months of, you know, having my baby in my body was the constant connection to spirit, because the minute I came back into like modern life, I couldn't cope. I couldn't cope. It made no sense. And you know, so what about the actual loss? You know, as we talk about this knowing that we have versus kind of like the intellectual knowledge or fears, I know for me, the writing was very clear on the wall that this would happen. My baby told me in dreams. It was like I was constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop, kind of. But in my head, I was surprised when it happened. So I'm curious how you felt, you know, because it's sort of shocking, I think, regardless to like all of a sudden know.
It was definitely a shock, because it felt like this baby really wanted to come. Like it was just like, you know, one of the opening lines to my reading was that it had been planned for a long time. So at that time.
But it did really want to come. Just this way.
I'd never seen that one coming. And, you know, there was physical things that, you know, I just wasn't sure if it was just because this was going to be my fifth baby. I've never had a miscarriage till, you know, till this one. And I know that there's variations of normal. I know that, you know, things change over time.
Sure.
It did feel like my uterus at some times was contracting a little bit more. Like it started like Braxton Hicks super early, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, I thought maybe it was normal, but I also have had, you know, my pelvis kind of go out of alignment, you know, since my pregnancies. And sometimes when your pelvis goes out of alignment, I mean, it's tugging on ligaments and, you know, it will, you know, shift over your uterus a bit. I mean, all those muscles and that musculature is all connected. So intricately that, you know, something like that can throw it off and how that feels. So I mean, I did get a physio appointment once and it did feel better, but there were definitely a few things that kind of, you know, made me wonder. And I only had maybe two dreams about this baby, you know, before. And one, I, you know, was holding her in my arms and I called her by her name. And the other one was a reading with Dawn, and she said something about, I wouldn't be able to have this baby naturally or something at home unassisted. And I was just kind of outraged at that dream. How dare I not, you know, like,
right.
I'm not having the baby anywhere else. I'm having her at home. But I was just kind of, it made me feel really odd, like, because she said something about the baby was stuck. And I'm like, stuck? Like, what do you mean the baby was going to get stuck?
So this
like,
was a dream, right?
Yes, this was a dream.
Okay.
And it just kind of, it really just the feeling that it leaves, because sometimes it's not, you know, what's the symbols or, you know, the visual or even what's said in a dream. It's how it makes you feel.
Oh my gosh, that's like, so true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, looking back, and it took some reflecting, I did have a lot of chaotic dreams. I had a lot of chaotic dreams of being on the water, and the waves were just crazy. And I think one of the last dreams before this loss, I remember getting this visual of the ocean again, and there was all these ships and all this blood in the water. And I don't know if the whales were killing humans or the humans were killing whales, but there was a point where I was swimming in the ocean, and I was just like, wow. I mean, it felt so weird, because I mean, underneath me were these giants and they were these whales, and I'm like, it could, like, you know, take me at any moment, and that was my dream, just bloody water.
Wow.
And
I
was just
like, that's really amazing. Okay. That's really amazing.
And I mean, for me, it really revealed itself, and this was, I guess, let's see, not the 16th, the 14th of October. So, you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago, and I woke up at about 5 a.m. and, you know, went to the bathroom. I mean, this is when my partner gets up to leave for work, and I wiped, and there was blood, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is weird, and I told him, and he's just kind of looked at me, and he doesn't show concern right away. Like, you know, a lot of times I can kind of read him, like, if he thinks that, you know, it's serious, I would know, but he's just like, oh, well, you know, kind of, you know, take it easy, see how it goes, and I felt instantly concerned because I know about variations in normal, even between pregnancies, but this was not my normal. So I couldn't let it go. And that morning at 5 a.m., I go on Facebook and you know, there was an unassisted birth page. Maybe I think I you know, posted on the indie birth.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Like, is this normal? Like, and I mean, yeah, I was getting feedback from women who had experienced bleeding during pregnancy, and I was really, really trying to not worry. But I also knew that this has never happened to me before out of 4 pregnancies, so I did find it odd. And well, that weekend I had a lady come up because I was supposed to be hosting a basket weaving workshop, but it just so happened, funny, that, you know, there was just not enough interest, and I had to cancel the event this time. I did one previously in the spring, and it was really successful, but she came to my house anyways, because we became friends, and she just stayed for the weekend and showed me how to make, you know, a round bottom style willow basket, and it was a lot more intricate than the first one, and I found myself kind of having a lot less patience. I found it a little more difficult to concentrate. My bleeding wasn't heavy, but, you know, it was minimal, but it's constantly on my mind, like, okay, I want this to stop now. I want the bleeding to stop, right, and just kind of be happy and be pregnant. You know, I had just shared the news with everyone, like, that I knew, like, even on Facebook, I did, you know, finally announce that, yeah, you know, I'm having my 5th baby, and I just, you know, had told all the parents, or the grandparents, I guess, and was ready to just kind of get big, you know, like, and enjoy that part of becoming beautiful and round, and, you know, feeling the baby move, and just do all that stuff again, right, kind of prep again for birth, and prep for having a beautiful May baby. Like, that was something, you know, I dreamt of, like, if I had another baby, what time of year would that be? Well, spring is kind of cool. Plus, there's no one born in May of my children or in the entire family. Mm. How cool would that be? Plus, I like Tauruses, nice earthy, you know, feminine sign. And
yeah, that's funny. Sable would have been a mate. He would have been a Taurus as well. It was about a year ago. Yeah.
Oh, well, look at another common thread. I know.
That's really beautiful, actually.
Yeah, and, you know, the name I picked just went so beautiful with the Taurus constellation, and Pleiades rules Taurus, and, you know, her name would have been Maya, and if she does choose to come back, I might still hang on to that name, because it just came to me, it's what I called her in the dream time, and it just fit almost too perfectly with the astrology. It's just, you know, it's another love of mine, is these messages we've left ourselves behind to remember, because, you know, it seems like coming to this earth plane, coming to planet, spaceship Earth, there is this, you know, forgetting that you have to go through. It's like a, you know, I don't know, a protective layer, I don't know, around our experience of being alive or something, that we do have to forget certain things. And we leave ourselves signs to kind of remember, well, what is my purpose here? Like, you know, because there has to be purpose. This can't all just be happening for no reason, right? So, so anyways, so the weekend was interesting. I mean, I did succeed and I made my basket. I hope I remember everything still, but so that Sunday, Mike, cause we go and attend a sweat lodge here. You know, we've been friends with the sweat holders for long. They've become family, and going to a sweat lodge has been, you know, a very big part of our healing journey. And we're, you know, we were able to now incorporate ceremony into our lives a little bit more. I mean, we grew up with nothing of the sorts. We don't have religious roots and we don't have, you know, spiritual roots like that. Right. It's always been kind of just this innate feeling that we've had both since little, that there's just more to this realm, you know, there's more to life, like there's a bigger picture. So in the last almost 5 years now that we've been going to the sweat lodge, my first time was when I was 17, actually, but Mike always kind of resisted. Like, it was like, no, this isn't calling me. And he doesn't do anything if it's not calling to his spirit. And all of a sudden it just, you know, going to the lodge was calling him very strongly, and he started going. And wow, I mean, the change in him in the last 5 years, you know, he's done a lot of powerful work. He's done 2 traditional fasts under them now, and he even earned a name in the lodge. And I don't know, he's just changed. It's helped him a lot, you know, and it's because he listened to that calling.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing that you guys have that together too.
Yeah, it's been nice kind of, something that we share. And our kids have been, you know, they've been participating too, even if they're not in the lodge or, you know, actively participating in ceremony, they're around and they're absorbing, you know. And I love the lodge so much because, I mean, I love birth too. And that's what the lodge represents. It is the womb, you know, you're stepping into the womb and you become spirit again when you're in the lodge. So you can doctor yourself because we are all our own healers. We are our best healers, right?
Indeed.
And even though we get guidance and help and assistance from other people, our healing is ultimately our own responsibility, and we are our own best healers, our own best doctors, our own best herbalists.
Agreed.
And so that Sunday, Mike went and left to the lodge, and I said, you know, say some prayers for me, you know, figure out, maybe you get a message, like, or, you know, some guidance as to what this is about. And, well, he did offer prayers, and that night, I mean, Christina left, the basket weaver teacher, she left that afternoon, and I was beat. I was so tired and tuckered out.
Yeah,
so I went and had a nap, and I probably slept for a good 2 hours, and I was still kind of, you know, tired after, but I'm like, wow, you know, pretty tired here. And Mike came home, and I think I went to bed around 9:30 that night, and, you know, a little bit more bleeding, but it wasn't like it was gushing, you know. I was like watching for signs like that, right? And so I went to bed at around 9:30 that night, and it was kind of, took me a little while to fall asleep, and all of a sudden I was kind of almost, you know, asleep, and I kind of turned over and I felt a funny little pop, you know. And I'm like, I just had a bad feeling right away. And so I went to the bathroom, and as soon as I sat down, there was my baby just right there.
Wow.
Hanging there. And it took a double take because, I mean, I was kind of already falling asleep. So I was kind of, you know, spacey, right? And I looked and I'm like, could it be something else? And, you know, her body turned a bit and, you know, we could make out a face. Like, I'm like, oh my God. And my eldest son's bathroom, or his bedroom, is right across from my bathroom, right? And I'm really, really open with my kids. Right. Like, there's not much I censor with them.
Right. I'm the honest. Same way.
I'm honest about all my feelings, whether they're anger, rage, love, you know, my passions. And I told them, look, kids, you know, mommy's experiencing a bit of bleeding. Like, it could lead to losing the baby. But it doesn't have to. That when I told them that when I went to have my nap, right? Because I'm like, I just need to take a bit of time. Can you please, you know, keep everything kind of under control?
Right.
So So as soon as, you know, my son Sequoia, he heard me, and I kind of, maybe I howled, I don't know, and he's like, are you losing the baby? And he was so sad about it, you know, the way he said it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can contain about my emotions when I'm feeling them. I really can't. And
well, isn't it so important that our children experience this as well? I mean, don't you think it would not be doing anyone a service to not talk hide about it or hide it, just like you explained, you know, you experienced when you were a child. We don't want to repeat those things if we can help it.
No, but you know, I don't also want them to feel invalidated. Like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of us, even when we were little growing up, there's things we felt, and yet what people would say and how they would act would not match how we felt, and it would create confusion.
Right.
So how are we supposed to trust what we feel when people are so good at masking things that they don't want us to know? Well, I never wanted that for my kids. Like, you know, everyone knows what it feels like to feel tension in a room.
Sure.
No one is saying anything. So, okay, well, then you just write it off as, oh, this is just me, right? And that's, you know, begins the confusion that we go through in life, is we need to learn to trust our feelings and maybe take some of those masks off. And that's kind of what I've always wanted from my kids, is I'm just going to be honest so you don't have to guess.
Sure, sure. So well, that's beautiful. You know, and I think in this situation too, you know, I think honesty is the most beautiful thing to be. This is just life.
And it's a tough thing to be honest, you know, like it takes a lot of courage to be honest, because sometimes, you know, it makes you have to say things or bring things up that are very uncomfortable, which no one likes to be uncomfortable. But I mean, really, if you really want authenticity and honesty, unfortunately, being uncomfortable at times is part of it. And that takes courage, especially when you're sensitive to other people's feelings, because you don't want to feel their hurt. Like, maybe what you're saying, you know, you're not intending to hurt anyone with your honesty.
Sure.
But sometimes it happens. So yeah, I went and got Mike after that, and I woke him up because he was, you know, sleeping and getting prepared for another crazy week of work. He works really long hours in the bush, so and he just kind of got up, and you know, I really felt him being really sensitive to being present with me, and he's very empathic. And part of what he asked for in the lodge is, you know, one of his gifts, and one of his gifts might be along the lines of being able to carry other people's stuff. And that's exactly what he did for me. Not that he has to carry, you know, just that aspect of transmutating energy. And it should never be taken lightly. You should never, ever have to take on someone else's stuff. But in this case, he couldn't help it. Like, I was in the bathroom, and I wasn't bleeding at first. Like, my baby was still attached to me, but there was no blood till I came back to the bathroom, and I just kind of squatted on my, you know, on the bathroom floor, and the blood started, and I was just like, wow. Like, I was definitely, you know, in disbelief that this was happening. Like, am I really awake? Like, is this really happening? And, you know, of course your immediate emotions are like, why? And why is this happening? Like, I don't understand. And he really took that on, and it's like he purged it out for me. And it was like, wow, it's happening. But, you know, he did take that energy, and some of the fear, it kind of left me. And after, there was just more of a calm. Like, I mean, I had to accept what was happening, you know, at some point in time. But it was really, it was hard. And my daughter came. She probably wasn't even sleeping yet. She's kind of a night owl. She's my eldest and only daughter. And
yeah. How old is she?
She'll be 12 in February. Mm-hmm. So she's still only 11. Right now. And always been, you know, very honest with her. And she was there that and saw me through, you know, having to let go of my beloved dog Nanook there when he died last year, also in October.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and she was really there for me. Like, that one really shocked me too. And she's just was there and let me express my feelings and just listened. And she was in the bathroom with us, and just I told her, you know, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be. And she just, you know, she chose to stay. She got me a water bottle because that's all I could think of. Okay, well, maybe, you know, hot water bottle once I can actually. It took a while. Like, it was about 2 hours of bleeding.
Sure.
And
sure.
I ended up, you know, going into my bathtub instead of being on the bathroom floor there. And I just kind of waited because the baby was still, like, the fetus was still attached to me. And I was kind of, like, gently trying to tug on it to release it, but I didn't really want it. Sure. You know, tug very hard. So I just kind of squatted and held her there for a while. And once the baby released, I was just holding her in my hand and I just sat in the tub and just allowed the flowing to flow, you know. I just, like, and I remember Mike asking me at some point, is there someone you want me to call or should we go somewhere? And I was just like, no, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, this just needs to happen here. Like, there's, I couldn't have imagined going anywhere for that. It wouldn't have been the same. I don't think I would have been able to release, you know, emotionally the way I did. It would have just really prolonged the process. And I really trusted that my body knew what to do. And
sure. Well, you know, and you were so present. Well, I'm sure you were in a lot of ways, and that's perfect too. But you know what I mean? Present in a way to not freak out. And to not, like, just pull the baby or anything because, you know, clinically, that's kind of what we all worry about is just a placenta that stays in and a baby that doesn't. But for you, like, just however you needed to process that time for your body to release was, of course, the smartest thing you could have ever done. And, you know, there's a lot that can go wrong there. So I'm glad that you were able to have that experience.
Yes, and, you know, it did take an immense amount of trust, and you do, I mean, the more I think we fight ourselves again in this respect, the harder that can be, and of course, you know, you really have to watch for those signs, you know, like, and it doesn't always unfold this way, but it can, you know, it's just like unassisted birth. I mean, there are no...
there are no guarantees.
Exactly, no. So...
But and that's funny, you know, I don't know if I told you or maybe you read it in my story, but I had a similar thing where the, like, sac and the baby were hanging out of me for a pretty long time, and it was the same waiting and, like, just shutting the door on everyone and just letting my body decide to do the rest. It was surreal. I had never experienced anything in the birth process like that before.
Wow. Yeah, and you know what, looking and judging, you know, my baby, it looked like a 10-week-old fetus. It didn't look 12 weeks yet. There seems to be a huge change in development in between that time, and I couldn't even tell you if I did see a placenta, because it just was all, you know, there was so much blood and so many clots, you know. It's like I couldn't, you know, I could, you know, I see my baby, but after that, it's like I didn't know what was what. It was just one big bloody river.
Yeah, exactly. That is how it looks.
So what was really interesting is, of course, you know, I had tried to get a hold of Dawn earlier about the bleeding, but Dawn doesn't go on Facebook, and I just kind of left it, and I just kind of wanted to see how things unfolded. So I did contact her, and I'm like, maybe we can check in on baby, make sure everything's okay, but she didn't get that message. So my next message was, I lost the baby, and she was kind enough to, you know, to tune in. And this is after we did our ceremony that I got this message, which I'll get into. But I just wanted to bring this up now because we're talking about the placenta. So she kept getting this image like the baby couldn't implant itself. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird, right? Because, I mean, the embryo's already implanted itself. But what I learned, and I had no idea before, so I had to research this after, was that I guess the placenta takes over at around 10 weeks.
Right.
And I didn't know that 4 pregnancies later. And I didn't know that I keep forgetting what the embryo, you know, what sustains it is the lining in the uterus, or I can't.
It's the yolk sac, I believe.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a huge transition, right? Even in a spiritual sense, now that you know that, to think of like what that might mean for a being or a soul to have that transition or not. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just found that interesting because it kind of confused her too. She's like, wow, okay. I don't really understand because I thought you were already implanted. So I shared that with her after. She's like, wow, yeah. That makes so much sense. And so the baby was, you know, the spirit of the baby. I can't call it a baby because it's not, you know, a baby, but right. It was going to be a baby. Right. She was just saying, yeah, like, I couldn't attach. My placenta couldn't attach to the uterus. The uterus was too slippery. And I'm like, well, wow. Okay. Well, like I said, you know, the timing of conception, everything was a little off. So it's like,
sure, it makes sense.
You know,
in that
maybe
way.
The hormones weren't quite right, you know, not right enough to make it viable and fertile and, you know, easy enough to sustain the growth of this baby.
Sure. Sure. And that's such a tricky place, I think, for your brain and your heart to be. I'm sure you felt that way, right? Like, you know, spiritually, you have kind of these explanations and things make sense, but then physiologically, you'd like to know more. And if this happened, then why didn't this happen? And what could I have done or not? And it just kind of all gets wrapped up together.
Yeah, well, my biggest concern was, oh, this baby, this thing, the spirit of this baby, maybe they're just like, oh, this is too crazy for me. I'm not coming in. But it wasn't like that. And I mean, every story is going to be unique and different. And there's going to be, you know, different reasons. But I do feel this one will come back at a better time. And maybe in hindsight, you know, wow, maybe I've jumped in too early, you know, maybe there's another time and place where things will just be ripe and perfect, you know, whatever that means. But, you know, like, that's kind of the message that came through, and that there is a huge, you know, physiological component to this, you know. Sure. Like, sometimes it is biology, you know, and timing. I mean, timing is always of the essence, sure, it seems, sure, with every project. So yeah, it was a very raw, intense, powerful, and humbling experience, you know, and I've never known this place before, and it was maybe a few months before I even found myself pregnant that I had someone come to me and ask me for, I don't know, advice, someone that she knew was possibly miscarrying, and I'm like, you know, I don't have any advice for you, because most of the advice that I can give is from my own experience, and I've never had the experience, so there wasn't really anything I could pass on besides just, you know, trusting at that time. So it was interesting how it all kind of came together, and October being, you know, pregnancy and infant loss month. Like, I kept seeing that come up after, you know, started bleeding. And I'm like, wow, this is really in my face. Like, maybe I should be preparing myself somehow, because this is another sign that, you know, something might be going on. And just how I felt when I saw that. And, you know, I have a birth page too, where I just like sharing articles. I share a lot of indie birth stuff on there. And, you know, that was something I did share, you know, October being infant loss month.
Right. No, that's funny you say that. I remember, you know, I usually share it too every year. And last year I was pregnant and I shared it because this is important, not because it had just happened to me. And so it was a strange foreshadowing. I had a bunch of people just message me and say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, I'm still pregnant, but it's infant loss month. It was a very strange thing. And then it was, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks later. So very, you know, how these things interplay, we'll never know, but
Right. And you just kind of, all you can do is, you know, stay in the flow with it and see, because it is, you are walking into the unknown. And that's really what this space has felt like, is like, you know, after, you know, it was a birth I had.
Sure.
I did feel like I was suspended between two worlds. It's only now that I'm kind of feel like I'm coming back to earth, you know, and feeling more grounded and, you know, doing the ceremony. We ended up having a fire ceremony the next day. So I just, you know, kind of took my little baby fetus and I wrapped it up and I put it, you know, in a safe place till I knew what, you know, that what my next step was. And Mike is a real connection to fire and always has. And fire, I mean, what a transformative, you know, elemental symbol it is anyways. It's cleansing, it's it's powerful, it's transforming. And Mike has learned through the lodge how to build a fire with an altar. And we had a rock, and they're called grandfathers. They're used in the lodge because they're usually made kind of out of like a lava type rock. Like they, you know, you can't just put any rock into the fire. Right. They might, you know, burst and shatter and explode in the fire. So we were gifted one of those rocks for, you know, whenever we did, would have fire kind of ceremonies and for smudging and stuff like that. And so we decided, because burial, just, it just didn't feel quite right, even though, you know, it crossed my mind to, you know, bury the body under my new apple tree. But there was just something about burial that just didn't feel right this time. And then I'm like, fire. And he's like, yeah, that already crossed my mind. And
yeah. Did you know we did the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of all the choices, we just waited until something came, and that was Jason's choice. I kind of put that on him. I mean, not in a bad way, but I was like, look, you know, I've done all this and birthed this baby, and now you are going to decide how we, you know, have this ceremony. And he chose fire as well. And so that's what we did.
Well, and it really, holy cow, that was powerful, because, you know, we laid, you know, the baby's body on tobacco and juniper, and juniper is just, it's a plant, you know, beautiful for cleansing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just felt right. And, you know, we offered our, you know, tobacco and prayers, and, you know, cried a little and held each other, and, you know, just said what we needed to say. And wow, like it really lifted. It lifted a layer off, like, you know, you could breathe again a little bit, because you just, it just felt really right. And it's really hard to describe, but, you know, some kind of ceremony to acknowledge, like, that this happened, whether you have a body, I guess, or not, doesn't matter, but to acknowledge it as, you know, that you did give birth and you were pregnant and there was a connection, and just to honor that in whatever way, you know, comes more natural. It doesn't really matter what the ritual is, as long as the heart is there.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And that, I think, is one of the most amazing, you know, pieces of your story, is doing it that way and sharing it. And, you know, we agreed, not everybody has to do that the same way at all, but having the space to feel like that's something that can be done. You know, I think in the mainstream world, which of course neither of us are super connected with, you know, women have losses all the time, and their babies are taken from them in the hospital. There's never any kind of evidence that the baby existed, and they don't have support or maybe counseling to create any sort of memory. And so it becomes this beyond traumatic event where it's almost like it never happened.
Yeah, well, you don't get that closure, you know, like, and the sad thing is in an important role that, you know, our Western kind of allopathic medical model can play when it comes to life-saving situations, when it comes to true healing, and especially acknowledging that emotional and spiritual aspect to loss, to even just healing the physical body, it has no knowledge of that. It's just completely void of understanding these spaces as sacred. I mean, look at birth. Like, that, you know, how long have we been giving birth now, and this model of care still hasn't acknowledged to keep that space sacred, like, you know. No, to keep it sensitive, to keep it gentle. I mean, we need the compassion and the sensitivity here in these important, very raw and vulnerable times in our lives. We don't need more aggressive or, you know, kind of harsh and cold treatments when it comes to being so open and vulnerable. And it's the only reason I'm, like, really sharing this, too, is I don't like talking about myself a whole lot. I'm usually more of a listener than a talker, but it became evident really fast to me that women need a space to talk about this, because I had people message me or comment and, you know, saying, yeah, I've had a lot. I had no idea they lost
a baby. Right, right.
We never talked about this to anyone, or you know, someone else who's been, you know, was kind of traumatized by her experience because, you know, she did go septic and needed, you know, all this medical treatment. Sure. And she almost, you know, died herself because the infection was spreading so much, and still traumatized 5 months after because, you know, the sensitivity for what she was going through emotionally, even though they helped her physically, it wasn't there. And she just hasn't been able to process that. So I was like, wow, like, you know, we really do need to talk about this, you know, because it should be acknowledged, not just like something you're hiding in the closet or you feel like you have no right to speak about it because you never held your baby, or, you know, like it's like it matters less than if, you know, your child who's has grown has died or something. But no, I think it needs to be acknowledged.
And obviously thank you for sharing your story, and, you know, I know we're Skyping apart, but for creating this sacred space, I feel, you know, with me tonight to share that, I, you know, I can feel our connection, and I'm sure anyone listening can as well, because it's a powerful story, and your way of telling it has been beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing what you have. And I was thinking we'll probably link to your blog post. That would be helpful. Yes.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, you know, a little bit more writing is nice because you get to really think about and kind of step back and read and kind of alter things and kind of really lay down what you want to say. And it's just kind of easier sometimes to express yourself because you get to just kind of let it flow out. But it's been really humbling to be able to, you know, to share this and to know that although this journey is your own when you're losing a baby or whatever you're going through, but, you know, losing a child like this has been my own journey, but I know I'm not alone because I'm standing with so many women who've gone through this before me. So I know I'm not alone. And that has been just as helpful, you know, and to just give yourself the space to kind of take a break and rest between the stories of your life. Because, I mean, for me, within a 3-month period, my life trajectory changed intensely twice.
Sure.
From we are inviting another baby and another, you know, child into our family. I mean, that takes you on a completely different path.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, okay, well, you know, and all of a sudden that story that you were already kind of forming is taken from you. And now you kind of, you're in this pause. And that's why I think I called it kind of walking between worlds, because that is what it felt like. You know, you have to, and unfortunately, it seems like our Western culture or just our society doesn't really allow for pauses. It's like, okay, you know, it's done now, get back to your life kind of thing. Sure. But it's not like that. You do feel like you're really in a suspended pause for a while till you, you know.
Well, there's no way that it's supposed to go. There's no time frame that you're magically healed or better, you know. So for some people, it'll be shorter or longer. But that's, I think, that feeling of just being, like you say, suspended in time. Like, what's next? You don't know.
No, you don't know. And I think, you know, the more you can just kind of embrace and accept that for the time being, you don't need to know anyways. You just kind of just allow yourself to really just be, and, you know, to just be gentle with yourself till you find your roots again. Because, I mean, although my spiritual roots are very deep, it really felt like my physical self was completely uprooted. Like, I'm like a plant laying on the ground going, oh my gosh, like, I have no ground beneath me. What am I doing? So in that space, you know, I think the more we try to push and figure out, sometimes the harder it is to kind of find your roots again, like, and just to kind of be okay and, all right, you know, one step in front of the other, and just to kind of just keep walking and just being open and seeing what comes, because it is unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a perfect way, I think, to to wrap this up for the time being, it's exactly that, unknown. But again, thank you for sharing this really personal story. And because this really wasn't that long ago, you know, just best wishes and love on continued processing and healing, as I know it goes for a while. And again, thanks for sharing this really just sensitive and beautiful story. I think it will touch a lot of people.
Yes, thank you again for letting me share this story. And I do hope that, you know, there are parts of it that, you know, might be able to help someone else who's, you know, standing in the same place that I was standing in just a little while ago. Sure. And to know that you're not alone and it takes time and there are no timelines to healing and grieving, but the more that we can surrender and the more that we can just accept, the easier it'll be for our own healing in the long run. That's really the only... What other advice do you have? It's like, you know, just slowly, like, you know, allow yourself to accept and find some kind of inner peace within it all, knowing that on some level, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. You don't have to, yeah.
You know, understand it right away. Allow the, you know, emotion. I think the biggest part is just don't suppress any of your emotions. Let them come up, you know. If we allow, you know, our emotions to kind of come up and we acknowledge them, then in the long run, we'll have less baggage to carry around. You know, the load won't be as heavy if we just let it happen when it wants to happen. So,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. Agreed.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, like, I mean, there's times I'm like, wow, did this even happen? You know, like everything happened so fast and you feel like you're kind of in a dream space sort of where it's like, wow, am I awake yet? You know, like, did this actually happen or was it a dream? But, you know, it's very interesting. Mm. It's very interesting. And yeah. And I do feel, you know, a closeness to the spirit still. And I will continue on with the blessings and the visions I was gifted while carrying that baby. You know, I'll keep, you know, going towards what I saw and what came up. You know, I will find some land and make that homestead for my family. So, you know, in good time. I mean, that's super unknown territory too, as life is. So,
right. That is, I think, the ultimate lesson, right? All in time. So, well, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Sabrina's story today. We're going to link her blog below this podcast so you can read at your leisure. So thanks again, Sabrina, and take care, everybody. Check the Indie Birth site for up to date information and the new Indie Birth Midwifery School, which is indiebirthmidwiferyschool.com. Thanks. Have a great day.